In the next few minutes, I'd like to remind us all of an analogy. Analogies can be very helpful to us. They can give us a different perspective on something. They can help us understand the topic in a different light. They can even help us with the decisions that we have to make in our everyday lives. The analogy I'd like to remind you of is one used by Mr. Armstrong a few times. I'm sure most of you are aware of it. I'm going to quote Mr. Armstrong from a Bible study he gave in 1980. He's talking about human nature and God's nature. He says this: "You didn't get it all at once, and when you began to receive the divine nature, you were filled with Satan's nature already. That is what you are full of. You can take a quart milk bottle. It's already filled with air, whether you know it or not. If you want to get that air out, you put something else in, and that will crowd the air out. You might put a drop of water in, that will push a drop of air out, but you won't even see that. But if you only put a drop of water in, you only get a little of the air out. And if you only get a drop of God's Holy Spirit, you only get a little bit of Satan's meanness and deviltry out. Remember that you have been filled about 100% with the nature of Satan. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, you receive a little bit of the divine nature, but you only get a little bit of it to start. You have been what we call carnal, fleshly-minded, Satan-minded." So Mr. Armstrong is using this example of a bottle to show us how we go from carnal and unconverted to being converted and full of the Holy Spirit. We know that Satan is the god of this world. We know that he is the prince of the power of the air. Without God's Holy Spirit working inside us, we are by default filled with Satan's nature. His broadcast will win out in the absence of God's help. The bottle is by default filled with air. We are by default sinful and carnal. As we heard from Mr. Forson last week, water is often a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Air, caused by leaven, is also used as a symbol of sin during the days of unleavened bread. So what can we learn from this example of a bottle filled with air or water? Well, my first point is that we cannot be a vacuum. We cannot simply focus our entire lives on removing sin. We cannot simply focus on the physical law. Imagine if God's holy day plan stopped after the days of unleavened bread. Imagine if we didn't have the day of Pentecost. Imagine if the Holy Spirit had not been made available to us. No matter how much sin we get out, we are still carnal human beings devoid of hope. Let's read from Matthew 5 and verse 17. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." Christ came to reveal the spiritual dimension of God's law. Israel only had the physical law revealed to them, and it was impossible for them to fulfill God's law, to live God's way fully. The word "fulfill" here can also be translated "fill completely" or "fill to the brim." If you'd like a title for this sermonette, it would be "Being Filled to the Brim." We need to have the goal in our lives of becoming full to the brim of God's Holy Spirit and his way of life and his way of thinking, not simply following the letter of the law. So can we get all the air out without replacing it with water or God's Holy Spirit? Let's read Romans 8 and verse 9. Romans 8 and verse 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." At baptism, we are given a little of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 38 says that the Holy Spirit is a gift from God at baptism. We must continue from that point, growing like a child in a womb, continually developing, looking straight ahead with our eyes fixed on the goal that God has for us. In the analogy, we are given a drop of water. that vital drop is the beginning of our journey of displacing Satan's nature. That vital drop is like the sperm fertilizing the egg and giving us the possibility for true life. So that's my first point. We cannot simply focus on removing sin. It must be replaced with something. We cannot be a vacuum. What else can we learn from this analogy? My second point is that there is a direct relationship between how much of Satan's nature we have and how much of God's nature we have. If we add a drop of God's nature, we lose a little bit of Satan's nature. Every day we face many decisions. Almost all of those can affect how much we are influenced by God or Satan. Whenever we turn on the TV or the radio, look on the internet, meet with friends or be at work, we are absorbing some of the nature around us. We have to be careful that what comes into us is increasing God's spirit, that we are pushing Satan's attitudes out. Remember, there is a direct relationship between the two. It also works the other way. When we are being tempted by something, we must keep it in our minds that if we let that temptation dwell, we are pushing God and his ways out. We will be going the wrong way, replacing the water with air. We will be going backwards in our development as children of God. There are two sides to it. We can't get away with one sin over here while thinking we are still drawing closer to God over there. Doubtlessly, we face setbacks, we falter, we go backwards. But we must always be focused on becoming filled to the brim with God's Holy Spirit. So that's my second point. How much of Satan's nature we have is proportional to how much of God's nature we've been filled with. So my third point is, what do we need to do? What does this all mean? How do we go about filling this bottle with water? How do we go about filling ourselves with God's nature and Holy Spirit? We need to be filling our minds with the way that God thinks. This means we need to be studying God's words while meditating and dwelling on them. We need to be hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness and drinking from the living waters. The law does not specify how much prayer and study we should do, and yet they are absolutely vital in our development, vital for displacing sin as well. This is what Mr. Armstrong says about our growth as Christians in the Plain Truth article in September 1983. It is the way of a constant battle, a striving against sin, a seeking God in earnest prayer for help and spiritual power to overcome. They are constantly gaining ground. They are constantly growing in God's knowledge from the Bible. They are constantly rooting out wrong habits, driving themselves into right habits. They are constantly growing closer to God through Bible study and prayer. They are constantly growing in character toward perfection, even though not yet perfect. End of quote. Let's say we're trying to give up a bad habit. The most effective method is to focus on something positive that takes our mind away from that bad habit. It's about taking positive steps to drown out the negative thoughts. The more good habits we can establish in our day-to-day lives, the less of an opening there is for bad habits to creep in. The good habits we need to establish are prayer, study, and meditation. All these things draw us closer to God. Another way we draw closer to God is through trials. When you pour water into a bottle, take a closer look. You may well see little bubbles clinging to the sides underneath the water. If you take that bottle and give it a little shake, many of those bubbles will rise to the surface, making more space for water. Doesn't God do that with us sometimes? He has to shake up our situation a little bit. Maybe you thought things were going pretty well in your life. Your job was going well. You had good family and friends around you. Maybe you lose your job. You lose someone close to you. Or you have a health problem. Trials are sent to make us rethink things. Think deeper about our calling and draw closer to God. Let's remind ourselves of this in James 1 and verse 2. James 1 and verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So learning from trials, along with prayer and study, are the tools that we have to help us take positive steps. Positive steps to get that bottle to contain more water and less air. As Mr. Armstrong said, you put a drop of water in, you get a little bit of air out. So let's go forward from the days of unleavened bread and Pentecost, striving to accumulate more of the water, displace the air, and eventually become filled to the brim with God's Holy Spirit.